KALW.
But when I smell something, I can't breathe. I just get teary-eyed because this is not me, but it is me. I have to work with this.
West Oakland has a problem with diesel pollution, and trucks are part of it.
And it's not trucker against community. We're both the same, and we just need to get our planet to be clean and do the proper thing.
We'll see how truck routes are changing. Then Chronicle reporter Heather Knight joins us to talk about why San Francisco streets are getting more dangerous.
City Hall put a goal of no traffic fatalities in San Francisco by 2024, but we're halfway there, and actually the numbers are going up rather than down.
And a familiar San Francisco sound is going on hiatus. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. If you live in West Oakland, you're more likely to visit the emergency room for a respiratory illness than anywhere else in the Bay Area. The culprit is diesel pollution, and heavy-duty trucks are a big part of the problem. Now, they're going to be part of the solution. Reporter Ariella Markowitz has that story.
There are over 7,000 trucks that drive through West Oakland every single day. Some of them are Bill Abudi's.
So this is where our yard is, and we're just going to drive and take a tour of the port operations.
Bill's a big guy. His navy baseball hat says Oakland Trucker, and when I meet him, he's catching a smoke break. We're under the overpass to the Bay Bridge at the headquarters of his trucking company. Bill's trucks are big polluters. So Bill is part of a new plan to improve the air quality in West Oakland. One of the major issues are truck routes. One of his drivers rolls up in a truck.
All right, we'll jump in here.
So high up. And we hop in so Bill can show me why trucks drive through the neighborhood here in the first place. We drive into the Port of Oakland.
And as soon as we pass this light, this is where the marine terminals start.
There are pastel-colored containers stacked as far as the eye can see.
You can almost drop it down to like a Lego-type kit putting blocks together.
There's a long line of trucks.
Yeah, so see, these guys are inching along.
The line stretches back for 2 miles. There's even food trucks for the truckers.
We have a lot of taco trucks here, very good taco trucks.
Once drivers get to the front of the line, they head off for delivery. We hop out of the truck and into Bill's car. He shows me the typical way drivers exit the port, over an overpass into the heart of West Oakland where 21,000 people live, an area of town that's mostly black and low income. Bill says residents don't often go into the industrial side of town.
It's just we're neighbors, but they don't know this place exists.
But residents definitely see the trucks. They're scattered outside different businesses.
Yeah, there's one.
Right. So because he's probably stopping at the Chinese food down the street to get a bite to eat, or he's doing some business at the post office.
It makes sense. Where there's a big port, there's a lot of polluting trucks, and truck drivers need a place to go for food and services, so they go into residential streets. But that's a problem.
I'll even take you to a computer and just wipe your finger, and you'll see not only the dust, but you'll see the black soot.
Bill literally sees the environmental impact of diesel pollution every day, and West Oakland residents feel it. The diesel particles that come out of trucks are proven to make asthma, heart disease, and other chronic issues worse.
The pollution is bad. It really affects me, it really does.
Sharon Snell has lived in West Oakland for her whole life. She's 69 years old.
It gets to the point where, you know, it's like I'm breathing real hard because I'm trying to keep the air in, but it's hard to breathe. That's why I go to my machine and put my oxygen on.
Snell has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Every day she gets air from an oxygen tank and nebulizer machine at home and carries an inhaler in her purse. For folks with chronic issues like Snell, a day of bad air pollution can mean a trip to the ER.
But when I smell something, I can't breathe. I just get teary-eyed because this is not me, but it is me. I have to deal with this. I have to work with this.
Currently, Snell has housing. She can escape the air. Others aren't so lucky. Carolyn is currently homeless in West Oakland, and she has asthma.
since I've been homeless, it's been worse. I've been to the hospital, I've been homeless, what, almost 4 years. In 4 years, I've been to the hospital for my asthma maybe 200 times.
Wow.
Now, staying here, I was going by every other week.
This problem isn't new. Local activist group, the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, has been fighting for cleaner air for years. They argue that the problem isn't just caused by trucks like Bill's. There are diesel boats and trains, polluting companies, as well as the area's never-ending construction. They've tried to tackle the problem with a lawsuit, but activists say that nothing concrete came out of it. But then California passed AB 617, a law that required Oakland to summon a task force to actually come up with a plan to fix the bad air. The task force consists of the Port of Oakland, the city, truckers like Bill Abboudi, and activists.
So we have come a long way from slinging lawsuits at each other to being in a room saying, look, we all recognize the problem.
Activist Brian Beveridge is co-director of the Environmental Indicators Project. I meet him at a town hall earlier this summer where the task force unveiled their community action plan.
So we brought in this aspect of exposure reduction, which requires a whole different set of tools.
Instead of focusing on reducing emissions, the plan wants to move polluting trucks and industries out of downtown West Oakland. Truckers like Bill Abboudi will have to redraw their truck routes away from residential areas. Back in the car where Bill is showing me where trucks currently drive in West Oakland, we pass a new housing development.
Well, these are $900,000 units, so I can't even afford them.
But right next door...
you have the recycling.
Oh, here's this big recycling plant.
If you're a new resident here, look at how close this is your view.
Recycling plants are big air polluters, and they attract a bunch of trash trucks. So the new plan is making them leave. This plant will be relocated to the old Oakland Army base by 2024. But the problem doesn't end there.
You're going to see the issue here.
We roll up to one of the most polluted West Oakland intersections, 3rd and Adeline. It's right by where trucks enter and exit the port. We see old historic townhouses right next to a service center for truckers.
This all used to be industrial. This was a bakery.
Right.
All of that is residential now.
Truckers need these services, but right now they're next door to people's houses. So Bill is getting a lease from the city to develop his truck yard into a transit hub for truckers with full services, fuel, tires, food, even a place to check the mail. The location is close to the port. The strategy is that it'll draw trucks away from restaurants and gas stations close to people's homes. The new plan is also training city workers to enforce tickets and other penalties for truckers who park or idle in the streets. These things take time. Bill says these measures are like trying to unravel history.
In the old days, you would build your factory down the street from where you lived, right? So that's West Oakland.
Finally, we pull back into the truck yard and spot a bright orange truck that's different from the others.
So these boxes is where the fuel tanks would go, and they're just batteries. It's a beautiful...
Super cool.
Yeah. And we were the first in the Bay Area to have this.
Its nickname is Tesla, and it runs on battery power alone. But it's the only one in a yard full of diesel-burning 18-wheelers. A long-term strategy in the action plan is to switch all the freight equipment in the Port of Oakland to battery-powered vehicles.
Oh, yeah. And it's not trucker against community. We're both the same. We're human beings. And we just need to get our planet to be clean and do the proper thing.
And Bill Abboudi says it's up to truckers to help make it happen. In West Oakland, I'm Ariella Markowitz for Cross Currents.
You can find more information about the plan's strategies at our website, kalw.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. So many people are dying on San Francisco streets that city officials have declared a traffic emergency. And the number of people injured on city streets is rising, too. Every 15 hours, someone is taken to San Francisco General Hospital after being hit by a car. Many of these injuries leave lasting physical and psychological damage for people just trying to get around. San Francisco Chronicle reporter Heather Knight has reported on the city's risky streets, and she spoke with KALW Justice reporter Holly J. McDeed.
Could you tell me a little bit about why the streets of San Francisco have gotten so unsafe?
Yeah, I've been following this program called Vision Zero for a while. It was started in 2014 when traffic injuries and fatalities were rising, and City Hall put a goal of no traffic fatalities in San Francisco by 2024. But we're halfway there, and actually the numbers are going up rather than down. And there are a number of reasons for that. One is more jobs due to the economic boom is bringing in more people every day to the city, a lot of them driving. These rideshare vehicles are also a lot more prominent than they used to be, and the streets in general are just a lot more crowded. An epidemiologist at the Public Health Department gave a report on injuries to the Vision Zero Committee very recently, and I got that report. And it, in addition to the increase in Uber and Lyft vehicles, it talked about one in five San Franciscans is a senior now, and that's going to keep growing. We're an aging city, and the older you are, the slower you walk, and your reflexes might not be as quick. They've looked at allowing the walk signals to be longer, but even changing that and giving people walking more time to cross apparently takes like 5 years or something to do that citywide, which is crazy. As we all know, the homeless population is also rising. There's a lot of mental health issues among that population, and I think we've all seen people kind of wandering in traffic confused, and that can be, according to this report, another factor.
Yeah, and in this recent piece, you decided to focus on one man who had hit a woman. Could you tell me a little bit about that story, what happened in that incident, and what did they talk to you about?
Yeah, that was really interesting. Right away, the woman that I interviewed, Nancy, was up for it right off the bat and told me her story of in February, she was walking across the intersection at 18th and Guerrero and was hit by a car. She blacked out. She woke up laying flat on her back with, you know, she described seeing feet around her because, you know, everybody's standing up and she's like disoriented, laying on the ground. And the next thing she knows, she's in an ambulance being treated at the hospital. Had no idea what had happened because the last thing she remembers was just crossing the street on her way home from Safeway. As soon as she was released from the hospital and feeling okay, she went to the Mission Police Station and asked for the report or to speak with officers who'd been at the scene, and she felt that they just dismissed her. It took a month just to get the police report. So then she finally got the report, which had the man's name and number that had hit her, and she actually texted him and just wanted someone to explain, like, what had actually happened. She just felt so disoriented. She learned that he didn't have insurance. And then she learned the most shocking thing of all was that he didn't even get a ticket. He admits it's his fault. He was supposed to yield because she was in a crosswalk with a green light and he was turning left. And he got distracted and just hit her. And he admits that that happened. The police determined that happened. But he didn't get any ticket. He was just allowed to go on his way.
But he is, you know, one person who wasn't issued a ticket. It seems like over the years, there's also been a decline in police issuing driver's tickets at all. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Since Vision Zero started, a big part of that is police enforcement. And the enforcement piece is supposed to look at, they call it Focus on the Five. It's the five worst driver behaviors that are most likely to end up in a pedestrian being injured. And one of those is what this guy did, which is turn on a left with a green and hit somebody in the crosswalk. That happens all the time. And so police are supposed to be ticketing that behavior more, but actually if you look at the data, it's gone way down. They're actually giving way less tickets and way less of those five focus on the five tickets than they were when this whole thing started, which is very counterintuitive. It turns out there's a state law that's been implemented in the meantime, which I think is contributing to them not wanting to ticket as much, which good intentioned, it is aimed at eliminating racial profiling and, you know, pulling people over who are predominantly African-American or Latino. So it requires officers to input a lot more demographic information than they used to.
Is the idea that police feel like this is slowing them down so much to have to enter this information that it's better not to pull people over at all?
It sounds like it. I talked to the commander of the traffic division, and he said there used to be 20 inputs in a ticket, and now there's 40. So it takes a lot more time. And that a lot of officers just don't want to deal with the paperwork. So it's a shame.
Well, now that the city has passed a resolution to declare a traffic emergency and at least seems to want to change these statistics, what have city leaders been trying to do? What are some of the larger problem-solving things that could happen?
There's a number of ways to make streets safer, like bulb outs that give pedestrians more space at intersections to wait for the light to change, pedestrian scrambles, which allow them to have, you know, control of the intersection, and then cars go later rather than everybody trying to cross at the same time. And protected bike lanes is a big one that, of course, the Bicycle Coalition is really backing. There's some big things that Walk SF, the pedestrian advocacy group, would like to see, like lowered speed limits throughout the entire city. They would like to see most speed limits in the city come down to 20 or 25 miles an hour. They would like to see more automated speed enforcement, which currently isn't legal at the California level. Has been talked about for years and years, but has never progressed. So that would be those, you know, things that show you how fast you're going when you drive. They would actually be able to take a picture of your license plate and send you a ticket rather than needing police officers to do that.
Yeah. Are you feeling hopeful? Do you think things will change dramatically soon?
I write a lot about how slow City Hall is at pretty much everything. So I don't think we can see anything immediate, but I think people are paying attention. Like you said, the supervisors just declared a state of emergency, which is just a statement at this point and doesn't actually implement all the stuff that we've already touched on. But at least there's an acknowledgement that we have a crisis and it's not okay.
That was San Francisco Chronicle reporter Heather Knight speaking with KLW's Holly J. McDeed. Julia Linas Goodman helped produce that interview. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Now it's time for an audiograph, the signature sounds of the Bay Area. If you live or work in San Francisco, you've probably heard this week's sound every Tuesday at noon. In this story from our archives, Julie Kane tells us all about it.
It's a little before noon on a Tuesday, and I'm at San Francisco's Department of Emergency Management, right across from Jefferson Square Park in the Fillmore. I'm standing in a room filled with computers and monitors and blinking lights. What time is it now?
It's 11:53.
That's Joseph Molinari. He works for San Francisco's Department of Technology.
And my main function is to maintain and operate the siren system, the outdoor public warning system.
The outdoor public warning system, better known as the Tuesday noon siren. A way to let San Franciscans know what to do if something seriously bad happens, a major earthquake, say, or a tsunami.
You could announce real time over the microphone that just for people to stay out of this area, or if there was an earthquake and buildings were unsafe, you could tell people to evacuate certain areas.
The system's been around since World War II. And every Tuesday at noon, an actual human being clicks a mouse to set off the system.
If it was all automated and there was an emergency, then the person here may not be familiar with the operation of the system.
It's not just city employees who do the Tuesday test, though. There's also a group of volunteer ham radio operators called the Auxiliary Communication Service, or ACS. Molinari says they're a big part of making sure we stay safe.
And they station themselves throughout the city on Tuesday at noon and listen to the sirens. And if they can't hear the voice, for example, or they can't hear the siren wail in a specific area, they report on that. We better let John get in here so that he can... You synced him? Okay.
Okay, so about a minute.
It's 11:59. John Del Porto, a central fire alarm dispatcher, readies himself at a computer terminal, hand poised on a mouse.
So right at 45, we go ahead and set the siren off, and then at noon, the siren goes ahead and goes off. So we're now 21 seconds away. Okay, I went ahead and set the siren off.
Okay,
test. This is a test of the outdoor warning system. This is only a test.
Net control. We will take check-ins and from time-sensitive stations first. Go ahead, time-sensitive stations. Call signs Alpha through Zulu.
Afternoon. This is Operator Barr, Baker, Able, Romeo, Romeo. I am at Sanchez and Alvarado Streets, outdoors, second floor deck, siren 31, both tone and voice loud and clear.
At the time of the siren, I was located at Plum Street and South Van Ness at the base of siren number 29er. I was outdoors, tone and English loud and clear, no Spanish, KK6JJK, back to Ned.
I was outdoors at the corner of Bosworth and Diamond Streets.
The cross streets are Francisco and Baker.
I heard one siren to the probably northeast. Both tone and voice were loud and clear. KG6QDJ, back to net.
Good afternoon, Jim. This is Alpha Alpha 6 Sierra Foxtrot. My name is Peter Papa Echo Tango Echo Romeo. I am located at 22nd Street and Carolina. I am outdoors. I heard siren number one. Voice message was heard, and the voice test message was understood.
Peter McElmurray, Alpha Alpha 6 Sierra Foxtrot, is part of the Auxiliary Communication Service.
This is the end of report for AA6SF.
We've met high atop Potrero Hill next to San Francisco's original warning siren, siren number one. Normally, McElmurray reports on siren 85 at Scott and Geary.
I live in Japantown, so I report from the balcony of my apartment.
Like many ACS volunteers, he got the ham radio bug as part of his local NERT, Neighborhood Emergency Response Team.
Because the cell phone repeaters could go down, the telephone lines could be down, or they could be clogged up, and we could pass information that would be useful in the event of an emergency.
To use the system, you need a license and a call sign from the FCC.
We can have 20 to 30 people check in on a given Tuesday, and we get used to them. We recognize their voice, their call sign, their name.
Today, McElmurray has a surprise for me. He lends me his radio and his call sign. I get to call in a siren report.
So you press the talk button.
Okay. Hello. I am using control operator sign AA6SF, Alpha Alpha 6, Sierra Foxtrot. My name is Julie, Juliet Uniform Lima India Echo. I'm located at 22nd in Carolina. I'm outdoors. Heard the siren tone loud and clear. We are right by siren number one. And the voice message was heard very clearly, very understandable. It was understood. And this is the end of the report. This is Julie using Alpha Alpha 6 Sierra Foxtrot.
Thanks, Julie. Well, after next week, the Tuesday noon siren is going on hiatus for 2 years. The service is getting an upgrade. You can listen to more audiographs at kalw.org. It's also where you can subscribe to the Cross Currents newsletter. Tune in Monday at 5. We'll talk with a researcher who says people can be scientifically trained to be caring and compassionate.
How do we understand each other, and why are we so good at it? Why are we sometimes so bad at it? And can we get better at it?
Can we teach empathy? Monday at 5 on Cross Currents. All right, it's time to listen to a local band. This is La Misa Negra from Oakland. They're performing at the New Parish tomorrow night. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Kristen McCandless, True Quinn, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Victor Tense. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.